You open to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look in several chapters in Isaiah. And you can call the nine chapters from 40 to 48. Chapter 40, the greatness of God's person. Chapter 41, the greatness of God's purpose. 42 and 43, the greatness of God's pardon. Chapter 44 and 45, the greatness of God's promises. And chapter 46, 7, and 8, the greatness of God's power. And we're going to look at all eight, nine chapters, not today. No. These chapters were written 150 years before Babylon was a world power. It was written to encourage the Jews who would, 150 years from the writing, go into captivity. That teaches us that God knows our needs before we do. And he moves to meet those needs. Think about it. Before you were born, before you were conceived, Christ came to pay for your sins. Before you knew you had a need, God knew it and moved to meet it, to take care of it. And in those eight, nine chapters, there's three emphases. One is fear not. Second is the greatness of God contrasted with the falseness of idols. And then the third is Cyrus the king of Persia and how he was going to be used by God, a tool of God, to defeat the Babylonians and allow the Jews to return to their homeland. Okay? So in those, there's other things, but those are the three main emphases. And I want to look at the first one, fear not. When we look around at world events, okay, how long has it been since the last mass shooting? Today? No way. I was going to say 3 weeks, right? Which makes us think that. When's the next one? Today, Jackie said. We look around at our government and movements inside and outside our government that seem intent on destroying the little bit that's left that's good and right in our government. Marriage as a union between a man and a woman is going down, let's say. The economy sometimes looks good, sometimes looks bad. Respect for others, decency is seemingly a thing of the past. You can't agree to disagree. Freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion is being restricted. And it's old hat now, none of us even kind of think about it, but our government spies on us. Okay. Do we fear? I think a lot of us do. Maybe not about the things I mentioned, but we have fears. And looking at the greatness of God and his promises, his promises coupled with his commands to do not fear should encourage us. Look in chapter 41. Chapter 41, verses 8, 9, and 10. Now remember, this is written to encourage those Jews who 150 years later were going to go into captivity. Okay, so the primary recipient of all these promises is not us, the church, but the nation of Israel. But the same God who gave them promises has given us similar promises, and we can draw encouragement from the fact that he promised his people Israel these things, and he promises us, his bride, the church, things. And the same God will keep those promises. So in chapter 41, verse 8, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. They were going to go into captivity. And he is encouraging them. Look, I've chosen you. You're mine. I have not cast you away, even though you are hundreds of miles from your land, captive in a foreign pagan land. I have not cast you away. Fear thou not, verse 10, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Why does he say the right hand of my righteousness? Because he made a promise to Abraham, his friend. And he made that promise dependent upon nothing from Abraham. And God's name is at stake. His righteousness is at stake. Will God do what's right and keep his promises? And he said he will. Now, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I've not cast thee away. Does that sound like anything given to the New Testament church? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay? That's in the New Testament. That's for the church. Save Jew, save Gentile, put in one body called the church. Look in verse 13 and 14. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord is our Redeemer. We have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. He's our Redeemer. He was Israel's Redeemer. He's our Redeemer. Fear not. Chapter 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. And how did he create Jacob? How did he form Israel? When he called Abraham out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees and said, come over here to this land that I will show you, and I will give you the land, make of you a great nation, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's the Lord who formed thee. Has the Lord formed the church? Yes. God is building the church upon this rock, the rock of Peter's confession, that man from Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that rock, Christ is building his church. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. I've called you by your name. Thou art mine. Isn't that cool? I have called you by your name. You are mine. We've been redeemed. Christ has purchased us. What? Know ye not? You're not yourself, your own. You are bought with a price. We're not ours. We're God's because he purchased us. He called us by our name, and now we're his. In chapter 44, so we're not to fear. Chapter 44, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, which is another name for Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. And then, verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. So, are we his witnesses? Are we his witnesses? Yes. He said, you are my witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, right? That location right there where they live, and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Just like Israel was to be his witness nation, the church is to be his witness. So, in context, what were the Jews fearing? The great Gentile nations were moving in conquest across the land. Israel, the northern tribe, had already been taken into captivity by Assyria. They were told prophetically throughout these chapters that Babylon was going to capture Judah, the southern kingdom. Idol-worshipping nations were going to, had taken Israel, which was very backslidden, but they are going to take southern Israel. I'm sure they thought, were their gods, the gods of these other nations, of Assyria and of Babylon, are their gods the true gods? If our God can't defend us, if our God can't keep us, those other nations are victorious. It was the thought. Any nation that defeated another nation, it's because the winning nation's gods were stronger than the conquered nation. How can it be that Babylon is going to take Judah, the southern kingdom? Maybe Yahweh, maybe Jehovah is not the true God. And God goes through here and says, this is all going to happen. And yet, I will bring you back. You are not cast aside, cast away. You're not forgotten. Fear not. All to encourage those who would live four generations later. Think about it. Are you writing notes to your great, great, great grandchild? Are you writing letters to your great, great, great grandchild? I'm sorry, I forgot your child. Child, grandchild, great, great, your great, great grandchild. Four generations from now? I'm not. I don't even think about them. I just wanted to see my grandkid. But God knew, and God said, this will happen, but don't fear. So take those things and apply them to whatever it is that we might fear. God knows our needs, and God has already moved to meet them. Father, we praise you for your goodness to Israel, for your faithfulness to your promises to them. Father, we praise you for your goodness and faithfulness to us in giving and keeping all the promises to us that you have. Thank you for blessing us with all the riches that are ours in Christ. Thank you for giving us peace with you, for giving us forgiveness, for granting us reconciliation. We no longer stand condemned before you because of what our Savior Jesus has done. We praise you and bless you. Amen.